Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Singapore and one end of the world, one side of the world, and to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital. Right across from the Gene Bosch studio, streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. The Federal Communications Commission and I have got to get that in. Right across from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, which is where the captain's chair is, which is where I am in the captain's chair, is the Vashon Presbyterian Church. And it has a signboard out in front, and they change the message on the sign every so often. And the one that is there today, it says, "Be good people to all people." It is my hope and my wish and my command that Captain Joe's people are always good people to all people. My greetings today are, first of all, to correct my mistake for this quarter. I allow myself one mistake each quarter, and I have not used it for this quarter. But I do so here because I had promised to recognize a birthday. And that was for a young sailor, a young prospective guardian who is coming up through the chronological years, our friend Cody in Michigan. Cody, I had told your dad that I would proclaim your birthday last week, and I skipped over it, did not do it, did not keep my word. Promises made are promises kept, even if they come a little bit late. I know that you had a wonderful day because I talked to you on the telephone, and I will be seeing you next week. So for all of Captain Joe's people, next week I will be in Duluth at a reunion of Coast Guard people. And Duluth is the western beginning of the convoys of loaded ore boats with whom I was breaking ice with my much loved icebreaker Northwind when we were running loaded ore boats all winter long during a demonstration project. So Duluth is where the ore boats, that's the railhead for the iron ore that comes from the Mesabi iron ore range and is loaded into ships in Duluth and then is transported all the way through the lake system down to the South Shore to the mill towns on Lake Erie. And so we are foregathering, and it is going to be a splendid time. And I will be broadcasting next week from that particular gathering. And I've already talked to Captain O'Brien. He's going to engineer for me. And so it will be always at the same time, 12:30 Pacific time. And whatever that time is in your particular time zone, that's when you need to listen up, and you'll be hearing me from Duluth, Minnesota. The binnacle list carries with it today both some improvement in a couple of areas and some new reporting of hopefully an alarm which is going to prove to be just an alarm and not something really serious. I had received a signal during the week from a much trusted and respected friend who let me know that that his lady wife is having some symptoms that we need to check out. And so, as always, all of you who are on the binnacle list are in the palm of my hand and as close to my heart as anybody can possibly be. This is indeed for Captain Joe's people who are able to go to Duluth for this particular function, this particular gathering. This is the last call. The 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of June are the dates for this gathering. It is going to be a gathering in particular of Cuttermen. And Cuttermen are those of us who have chosen to go to sea in the Coast Guard, or were in some cases ordered to go to sea in the Coast Guard, did not choose it. But if they had sailed with me, they would have been converted to choosing it, if only to see, whoa, I wonder where the captain is going to take us this time. Times of great adventure. So you can go on to the Coast Guard channel, and you do not have to be a member, I don't believe. You have to be a member to read things like the reunion notices. But it is 2, 3, and 4 June. I am going to be one of the speakers at least one of the events, and I'll be broadcasting from there next week. On Saturday, the 1st of June, it will be 4 years since Mary R. crossed her own bar. 4 years ago, right from this captain's chair, the day after her death, I broadcast live, and I did that because I felt very strongly that I needed to fulfill the expectations that all of Captain Joe's people have, that no matter how serious the events, no matter how dangerous the times, that he will always be up in the captain's chair. And whatever commands he has at that given time will always be out on the point. I'm a great believer in the infantry motto. The infantry motto is, I am the queen of battle, follow me. So in those 4 years, when she died, of course, it was in the middle of the virus time. A few days after her death, her funeral was here on the Magical Isle in our cemetery, and I was supposed to have only a few people. I exceeded that number because all of our children and all of our grandchildren that were able to make the journey, but all of our children, all six of them were there, and most of our grandchildren. And there were island people, friends, who could not be included in the legal number, who were supposed to be 6 feet apart. Nowhere in Captain Joe's family or friends of family rank do we ever be just 6 feet apart. We are always really close together. Frequently hugging, holding each other, touching fingertips. It is part of the tradition of this particular family that I am privileged to lead. So there were some island people in the sort of hiding out in the bushes right at Mary R.'s gravesite is a red maple, and it was in full flower. It was absolutely beautiful. It was why I selected that particular site. And not very far from that red maple was my dear friend Andy. Andy had come out and violated the separation rules, and so he was there. I mention him because I am now acknowledging a gift from him. You all have heard me talk before about my scorn for the cellular telephone and the damage that I know that it has done in many places with many people. Some years ago, Andy and I were working together on a number of do-goods for the island community, including at Vashon Community Care, a facility that is no longer with us for reasons which are beyond the scope of this particular pontification at this time. And I did not have a telephone, and he did. And there were often times when he had things that he wanted to talk over and was not able to reach me. So at some point, Andy is one of those people that always, when a new telephone is issued, he buys it. And the one that he has gotten finished with goes into the drawer of his nightstand. So he reached into the drawer of his nightstand and he pulled out an iPhone, I think it was an iPhone 6. And he mailed it to me, or he gave it to me in some way. And I took it over to Verizon, for Verizon is my carrier. They have a military plan. I took it over to Verizon, and they set it up for me. And I used it until the Apple folks said that they were no longer going to support it. And by that time, Andy had bought a new one. And I got his next one. I am now on Andy Phone 4, number 4. It was delivered by a mutual friend. That mutual friend knew how to transfer all or most of the information over. It has been so done, and I hereby recognize now the latest version of the Andy Phone with many thanks to my friend Andy, he of the houseboat in Amsterdam, and with whom he and his lovely lady Cece, I spent some time before the holidays last year. Marine Traffic is my program of choice for tracking marine traffic all over the world. And I had it set up for an automatic renewal. In the meantime, Marine Traffic has decided to do two things. To cut back on the kinds and amount of information that is included in the basic plan, and to raise the price of the basic plan. Furthermore, the credit card that I had given them expired. So yesterday I get a signal from Marine Traffic. It goes like this. Hey, Captain Joe. And then it goes on to chide me for not being able to renew automatically my subscription to Marine Traffic at the higher cost, lower information, and for and trying to use a credit card that had expired. I quickly went back to them, gave them the updated credit card information. I did not chide them for addressing me as, hey, Captain Joe, but I hereby declare that this is not an appropriate way to address anybody, much less a captain, and much less one for whom you hope you're going to get a renewal for less information and more money. My grandson Joel is having his wedding on my property in July. He began the exchange of information about the wedding plans with the salutation, hey, Grandpa. I took care of that particular salutation immediately. I will not quote here the language that I used, but it was short, pithy, and direct. Joel no longer addresses me as, hey, Grandpa. It is my hope and my wish, and it would be my command if I were in a position to so command in this particular area that nobody ever address anybody as, hey, whoever you are out there. I find it to be particularly offensive and rude. And that's what I have to say about all of that. This last weekend, I did lighthouse tours. And I had probably 20 people who not only accepted the poster that I have that shows all of the lighthouses that have ever been built in Washington State, all of which are still operating, with the exception of one. Admiralty Head Light is no longer operating, although the lighthouse structure is still there. You can go to visit it. It's a beautiful building. And about 20 of them accepted the poster, and on the back of the poster are photographs of all of the lighthouses that one in Washington State that one can get to. My friends Anastasia and Aaron, they of the Kula Cloth, in about a year ago, took one of the posters and accepted my challenge to go and visit every single one of them. And in early December, they came for the open house, and they presented to me and showed me for my approbation and my Bravo Zulu, my well done, that they had indeed ridden their motorcycles to every single one of lighthouses and had gotten either stamps or photographs. So I was discussing this whole subject with visitors. I had a number. I probably had 200 people this Sunday, and maybe 20 or 30 of them took the posters and said, "Captain Joe, we are going to fill in every one of those blocks, get stamps at every one of those blocks." And I said, "Report back day this year is going to be on the 8th of December. That's when we have our open house this year. The Lighthouse Santa will be there." Those of you who have been challenged by over-wickedness had better get your stuff all back into one sea bag before you come and see me on the 8th of December. And I will bet you that there will be at least several who have decided to go on a quest to collect all of those lighthouses. For Anastasia and Aaron, they also used it as a way of helping them to deal with some things that were challenging in their lives at the time. And when they would get to one of those junction points, they would say, "Well, let's just get on the motorcycles." Aaron, by the way, has an Indian motorcycle. The name Indian as an Indian motorcycle goes back over 100 years. And they would get on their motorcycles, load up their backpacks, and off they would go and collect another lighthouse. It is a wonderful, wonderful way to do something together, a family thing together, and a day trip, and learning some history, and just spending some good time together. And if you come and see me, you won't see me this weekend because I will be in Duluth. But if you come and see me the weekend after that, we'll talk about it, and I'll give you the poster, and I will give you the Point Robinson stamp, which is the thing of rare beauty. The website called Do It Yourselves appeared on my computer unrequested, unheralded, and I don't know how the hell it got there, but it did. And it is a listing of things that we can do with rare, or not rare, but homely items. Now, not too long ago, or maybe a year ago, I talked about the way that my clothes dryer is generating lint. And I was concerned that not only was it generating lint, but it also was that the lint was coming from clothes that were in the dryer, and that eventually a piece of underwear that had gone into the washer and come out clean and gone into the dryer to be dried would be wafted away in the lint collection in the lint filter. This website called Do It Yourselves tells me that I can and should, and I will be really sorry if I just throw away the lint from the dryer. Relieved am I to hear this word, that there are things that I can do with it. There are, in fact, five things that I can do with dryer lint, and here are two of them. I heat captain's quarters with a wood stove, a Lopi Endeavor, a wonderfully efficient piece of equipment, and I burn wood either from my own woodlot or from other sources. I can use the dryer lint as a fire starter. I don't have to get little strike-a-fire bars that I use, or I don't need to get fatwood sticks. I can just ball up the lint from the dryer and use that to start a fire. The other thing I can do with it is make paper. Now, who would have thought that I could take dryer lint and mix it up with water, and for all I know, where you remember I said never melt yellow snow, but could collect yellow snow. No doubt that would provide some sort of a binder. Mix that with lint and make paper. The article says that I can make paper with lint and use it for a special note paper. If I make it with yellow snow, of course, I would be using it for other purposes. So those are two of the five things that I can do with dryer lint. And I will never worry again that even if my underwear vanishes as lint, it will resurface. Its reincarnation will be as either paper or fire starters. The other thing, the next one was from Do It Yourselves. I could not resist this one. It says, why you should put a crayon in your wallet. And one of the reasons, there are indeed five reasons why you should put a crayon in your wallet. And one of them is that it serves as a divider. And the article says that if you put a crayon in with your credit cards and you sit on your wallet with the crayon in it, the crayon will keep the credit cards from bending and flexing and ultimately breaking or cracking. Now, the logic of all of that escapes me. I was trained and educated and trained not only as a seaman, as a sailor, and as a fledgling commanding officer, captain, but also as an engineer. And the idea that this crayon is going to protect the credit cards, especially the credit card that I'm using to reinstate my good graces with marine traffic, somehow escapes me. I am not going to put a purple crayon in my wallet just to see what's going to happen. But if any of Captain Joe's people want to try this out, please let me know. On a little bit more of a serious note, Sweden has now acceded to the NATO treaty, is now a member of NATO, North American Treaty Organization. And that ends a neutrality of Sweden, which lasted for 200 years. It's causing Sweden to both retool its defense, to change many attitudes in His Majesty's government, for Sweden is a monarchy, constitutional monarchy. And it one of the things that is being actively considered is Sweden to host some American military units. Sweden, Finland, Norway, and Denmark now make up the first contiguous Nordic military alliance in more than 500 years, the countries together. One of the good things that this will help do is to be a strong counterbalance to the Russian bear in the Arctic. Also, the Baltic. There is a strong feeling among the Nordic countries that Russia wants to become the dominant power in the Baltic, and that certainly fulfills the Russian philosophy of over 300 years. So we will we'll be watching that with considerable interest. Sweden, of course, is of personal interest to me because I have family in Sweden. That's my family who are now doing a sabbatical down at the University of California, San Diego. They'll be returning to Sweden in sometime during this summer. And I hope to go and visit them in Sweden sometime in the next months, maybe at the beginning of the new year. One of the things that I have been watching, I watch and monitor a lot of things. One of them is our vocabulary, and you will recall that not too long ago I declared a program, another one of Captain Joe's program for Captain Joe's people, in which we expunge from our vocabulary certain words. I expunged the first one so much that I can't remember which one it was. Maybe somebody out there will. Maybe one of Captain Joe's people whose memory remains completely intact, as I always like to believe mine does, but I cannot remember what that first word was. But the next one is this. I am not going to use the word bombshell in any context ever, except when it really is a true bombshell, as in artillery and artillery fire or naval gunfire support, which is one of the missions that my much-loved Cutter Ingham carried out in Vietnam. When I was in high school, I went to a Catholic boys' military high school, St. John's College High School in Washington, D.C. One of the advisors there was a retired Army colonel, Colonel Jess, and his assistant was a master sergeant, infantry master sergeant, who had survived I don't know how many campaigns in Europe in World War II. And I never have forgotten the way that he described being under artillery fire. He'd say, "And when the junk is coming flying through the air at you." That was his description of being under fire from enemy artillery. To me, that is a bombshell. All of these other uses in legal contexts and things like that don't count neither a jot nor a tittle with your captain, and they will not be used again in that context. A quick note about my ever pursuit of the ever elusive Blossom. I had an appointment with her to have her radioactivity checked out because the way that we cure hyperthyroidism is to subject the animal to an injection of a radioactive substance, radioactive iodine. And so I had an appointment for her to have that checked out. And I made a mistake and did not have her corralled in the downstairs head. Well, I should have done that because I know that she is smarter than I give her credit for. As soon as she perceived that she was going to go into the crate, she hightailed it for the depths of the house and not to be seen again, and I had to reschedule that appointment. She still is not allowing me to pick her up, not willingly, not allowing me to pet her or touch her. But she is always very, very close. She sleeps sometimes on where I sleep on my bed in the upstairs bedroom. She is often lying right under my feet when I'm working in the crow's nest in the second deck of my house. So we're getting there, but we are making slow, slow progress. But I am ever so glad that I have her. And if I hadn't gotten her, nobody else would. And so we're going to come to the end of her life having to not compete for food or compete for affection or compete to be warm and dry. I'm just really glad to have her, but boy, she is holding out. We've come now to the end of our time together. This is your Captain Joe. As always, I remain on station and watching properly. All of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we're going to meet again this time from Duluth, Minnesota.